بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم، ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا، أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه، واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إياكم والظن، فإن الظن أكذب الحديث. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ربي زدني علما. Respected علماء الكرام, حفاظ of the Quran, brothers and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The damage, the trauma that is being experienced by the ummah of Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs no clarification and explanation. What is happening to the different parts of the ummah of Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requires that we make earnest, sincere dua for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that which is happening at a macro level, on a global scale, then we as individuals, whatever little can be our input in bettering the situation, we would try. But what's more alarming and concerning is, as the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an injured, battered ummah, when we are inflicting injury to ourselves, when the ummah is already suffering, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we as an ummah, as individuals, need to make concerted efforts that we are not responsible to increasing that injury on the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this can come in various ways, how we can be responsible for bringing down the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are responsible for our own downfall. There can be various avenues, issues that can be discussed. But in this limited time, we speak about a spiritual malady and illness, that if we have to make an effort on our inner self, the root to all of the spiritual maladies is the heart. And that is why in the office of Nubuwwah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was responsible to make an effort on the tazkiyah and the reformation on the hearts of people. And that we have to direct every now and then an effort to the heart to ensure that that heart is facing the right direction. As we come for salah and we ensure that the qibla and the direction of qibla is correct, then only a person starts his salah when the direction is towards qibla. And the life will be correct when the heart is facing Allah. So the qibla of the heart is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that heart turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then sometimes we find ourselves being involved, vulnerable, or falling into certain spiritual maladies. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look into the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of effort was placed in the ahadith, the effort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the spiritual reformation of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Ummah at large. Spending time, finding a personality, a friend, someone in society, an alim, a scholar, who can help us detect those maladies and help us remove, eradicate those issues, the spiritual maladies or illnesses and sicknesses we have deep down in our hearts. One of them, amongst many that we could be involved in, one is we are very quick to judge others. Very quick when we see anything to say something about someone else.
In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the incident of accusation, which is known as ifk, took place in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Aisha radiallahu anha, amongst the Azwaji Mutahharat, the pure wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha was falsely accused of zina, fornication. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to exonerate and to free her from that accusation, revealed an entire ruku with, yes, insinuation to it in other parts of the Quran also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that Aisha radiallahu anha was free of that accusation. But there is many lessons that we can take from it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ. That sometimes this malady is found in a group of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if anyone accuses you, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. Never think that that is something bad. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If someone else has to accuse you wrongfully, then that is good for you. Example, we are sitting in the masjid, and someone is making ghibah of us out of the masjid. Without doing any ibadah in the masjid, you'll be getting reward. He is making ghibah of you, you will be receiving reward of all his good deeds. Whatever good deeds, maybe he's reading Quran Sharif, perhaps he woke up for tahajjud. But due to the ghibah he will be making, we without any amal will be getting his good deeds. So similar, if a person is going to be very quick in passing judgment, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is Aisha radiallahu anha amongst the believers. Remember, as a society, as a community, as an ummah, we are one united body. If we are going to be thinking bad of our fellow Muslim brother, then that is only going to be bringing the ummah down. Because he is part of the ummah. And if I am going to be pulling down a musalli of the masjid, then this is going to create cracks in the masjid of my society, of my community. I need to ensure that I am not responsible for bringing cracks in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that إِيَّاكُمْ وَظَنْ فَإِنَّ ظَنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Be careful of harboring bad thoughts about others, being very judgmental. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, remember your thoughts about your next Muslim brother is the worst lie in the Allah. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the worst lie. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just made hijrah, came to Medina Munawwara. Then there was a very secret discussion and private preparations were underway that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to participate in the battle of Badr, and a war will be taking place. So Sahaba are preparing for it. And one lady from the Mushrikeen, she was in Medina Munawwara, she came for some work. And as she was about to leave Medina Munawwara to back to Makkah Mukarrama, then someone gave her a letter. She took the letter and she left. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via revelation from Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Ali radiallahu anhu, Zubair, Miqdad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my sahaba, come here. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Ali radiallahu anhu and company and the sahaba. He says, i'tu rawdata khah. I want you immediately to leave Madina Munawwara. There is a lady in her carriage who is traveling on camelback. At this area of rawdata khah, you'll find her and she has a letter. Bring that letter. Nabi Sam doesn't give any more details. This lady has got a letter, bring the letter. So Ali radiallahu anhu, now this was a mu'jiza of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Sam is not in that area, but he's saying that by the time you leave Medina Munawwara, you most probably will intercept her at this area. Ali radiallahu anhu comes exactly that location, he intercepts that lady. And he tells this lady, لَتُخْرِجِنَّ الْكِتَابُ. He says, you have to give me this letter. So she says, I don't have any letter. And he says, listen, if my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says you have a letter, I don't even have an ounce of doubt, not even a shadow of doubt. You either take out the letter or we strip you until we find that letter. She got shocked. How these people know about the letter? That person who gave me the letter was a secret between two souls, no one else. No one knew about it. And that letter is so hidden in my hair, in the plaits of my hair, no one perhaps will even find it. But he says, if my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you got that letter, you have to have it. We'll strip you until we find it. So she got scared. She says, sorry. Open up the plaits of the hair. She gives the letter. Ali radiallahu anhu brings it to Madina Munawwara. And now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam opens up this letter. He's looking at it. Min Hatib ibn Abi Balta. Hatib radiallahu anhu, a sahabi, is writing a letter to the people of Makkah Mukarrama, informing them that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preparing for a war. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Hatib, ma hadha ya Hatib? What is this? You have written this? He says, Ya Rasulullah, la ta'jal alayya. Please don't rush in any decision. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes. That is the procedure. I'm not rushing. I have called you. I'm not executing. I'm not doing anything. I need the truth. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, the truth of the matter is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they have family in Makkah Mukarramah. But due to them having relationships amongst the kuffar also, due to their connections, relations, the other kuffar will look after the weak Muslims, because in the end of the day we sell blood. So they will take care of them. Myself, I am not from the Quraysh. I'm not from Makkah Mukarramah. I don't have any family, relatives, blood in Makkah, citizens who will take care of my family in Makkah Mukarramah. So I decided an attakhidha, let me do them a favor. I can extend the favor, perhaps in exchange and lieu of that favor, they will look after my family when the battle takes place. So Nabi Sam said, Hatib, it's true, it's correct, we accept your explanation. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Da'ni ya Rasulallah, adrib unuqa hadha al-munafiq. Ya Rasulallah, leave me, I'm going to kill him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, you cannot kill him. Why do you want to say he's a munafiq? Why do you want to kill him? Don't utter those statements. Umar, I understand you are upset. You feel that you've been let down. You feel that someone has stabbed us in the back. But what he has spoken is the truth. Listen, the sahabi has recited the kalima. He has taken part in, participated in the battle of Badr. We will not be killing him. He's a free man. So don't rush into any decision. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day one person passed by. Now sometimes we just see the apparent. What is inside the person, we don't know. Really deep down, we don't know. Sometimes a person can be in the first saf in the masjid, and every salah is in the first saf. But perhaps he's in the first saf and he's making dua to Allah. Ya Allah, give me barakat when my men go to steal. He's asking Allah for barakat in it. He's doing wrong, but he's in the first saf. And perhaps someone else is not in the masjid, but his heart is clean. He's not performing salah in the masjid. Yes, it's a wrong. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, but his heart is clean. And he is performing salah in his house. And he's doing his basics. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he was with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So the inner of a person, none of us know. Don't be quick to judge any person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one person passed by. Nabi Sam asked the Sahaba, what do you all see about this person? He says, Ya Rasulullah, this person, hariyun in khatab ayyunkah, in shafa'a ayyushafa'a, in qal ayyusma. If this person, if he has to give a proposal in any family, they'll accept it. If he speaks, he'll be listened. The person said, MashaAllah, excellent. Another person passed by, and he didn't look very intellectual or like elite amongst the community. So Nabi Sam says, what do you all have to see about this person? Simpleton walking by. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, if this Sahabi has to propose, I don't think so he'll get married. If he speaks, no one's going to listen to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you don't know the reality of the second person. One of the second person, in comparison to the whole world of the first, is not equal in the Allah. He is much better than the whole world of the first person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more respect. He is worth more in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although in your eyes he may look like an ordinary simpleton, like he's nobody. He may be a hidden gem and a jewel, but in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is really worth a lot. So what we have to be very careful about is being quick in judging others. In one of the communities, a person had a neighbor, and every time he walked past, he would greet this man. He was a non-Muslim. He would greet him. Morning, sir. Man never responded. Every time he would speak loudly, this man would look at him and he'll carry on with his work in the garden or outside in the house. And he would feel like perhaps he's snobbish or he doesn't like me or he's against Muslims. So this Muslim person kept it in his heart that my neighbor, something wrong with him. But every time he passed by, and if, example, both the husband and the wife were outside, and if he had to hoot, then the lady will greet, but the man never greeted. And if they went to perhaps give something, or there was a gift as a neighbor, and the wife went, then the wife would say, but the wife is so good. She speaks nicely, she accommodates us, she's very considerate. If there's anything and she speaks. So one day, this Muslim man was walking past, and then the wife was outside. So he got talking to her. He says, ma'am, how are you? Good morning. How's everything? Any help, any assistance, anything? You need anything, please let us know. So there was a very healthy conversation. He was with his wife and very healthy conversation. And then he found it an opportunity since we are talking. He says, just one concern I have. Is your husband upset with me? I see he's very snobbish. He don't speak to me. He doesn't even give me a greeting. He's like so sulky. He just doesn't give me a smile. Doesn't look at me. Doesn't want to talk to me. So then immediately her face fell. Countenance went down. And she looked at this man. And he says, I'm so sorry, sir. But my husband is deaf. He looked at himself and he says, Allahu Akbar. What am I thinking of this neighbor? And what's the reality? I'm screaming, I'm greeting, he's not responding. What I thought? And what's the reality of the matter? In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu appointed one person, his name was Amir, and he says that he'll be a governor of a certain area, li ahli Hims. So he said, this place of Hims, you will be the governor. So Umar radiallahu anhu appointed him, and he was the governor of that area. Umar radiallahu anhu routinely would do his checkups, that everything is fine, he's the governor, playing his role as the leader, the governor of the area. So one day, he went, and he's asking the people of the area, that how's the governor? So they all found an opportunity. He says, yes, good man, four complaints. Very good man, but we got four complaints about him. He says, number one, is that whenever he comes to office, he's late. He doesn't come to the office to see to our complaints. Hatta yartafi'a an-nahar. Until it's well advanced into the day. Perhaps we can say 9, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock or so. Mid-morning he comes. As if he's the lani, he comes late. He says, okay, a'zim. Says, very major. Anything else? He says, yes. The second one is that night time he never sees to our complaints. If we knock on his door, he doesn't want to entertain us. He says, worse. He's the governor, he's not listening to you. He says, number three, he says, once a week, he only comes out by Zohar time. Every day he is late as it is. Once a week, he only comes out by Zohar time. He says, okay. A governor hiding himself from the needs and requirements of people. He says, what's the fourth one? And Umar radiallahu anhu is thinking to himself, Oh my Allah, do not fail me in my good thought of my governor. I did my necessary checkups. Please, oh my Allah, don't fail me in what I'm thinking. I have good thoughts about him. So he said, what's the fourth complaint? He said, the fourth complaint is that every now and then, he just falls down, meaning he sits down, he's down, he's out, he's depressed. As a governor, he can't be down and out. He wouldn't crack a smile. He doesn't look at us, and he's just to himself, like he's in his own bubble. So he says, no, that's major. He says, wait, brothers, let me just call him. So he called his governor. He says, these brothers have four complaints. Can you please give us answers to it? Otherwise, we have to replace the man who's in charge. So he says, okay, what's the complaints? He says, number one, complaint is you only come to office mid-morning. He says, oh, Umar, that was a secret I tried to hide. But due to the public knowing and complaining, I have to expose the secret. He says, what's the secret? He says, as the governor, I didn't take a stipend for a slave in the house, for someone to help. I help my wife with the necessary home chores. We clean the house. I knead the dough. I do necessary work. When everything is in a good stead in the housework, then I leave. He says, brothers, you all heard? He says, yeah, okay, valid enough. He says, the second one, he says, they're complaining that the night they can't access you. You're not accessible at night. He says, oh, Umar, that was another secret I didn't want to expose. I have reserved the day for them and the night for Allah. The night I'm in ibadat and tahajjud salah. Whole night I'm making dua for them. Allah must keep them safe. Allah must protect them. Allah must keep them with afia. Whoever is married, ya Allah, keep them with, you know, peace and harmony. He's making... So he says, okay. They got shocked. He said, the third one, once a week you only come out by Zuhar time. He says, oh, Umar, that was another secret. As the governor, I only keep one pair of clothes. I don't have another. So that's the day what I do is, I wrap myself with some extra garments I have, a blanket. I wash my clothes, I wait for it to dry, and I only can come out by Zuhar time. Is it the fourth one? He says, once, every now and then you find yourself very down. So he says, oh Umar, what do I say? I was a kafir the day Khubayb radiallahu anhu became a shaheed. I witnessed personally firsthand when they were mutilating his body and they asked him, O Khubayb, atuhibbu anna Muhammadan fi makanik? Do you wish that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in your position and you were at home safe and sound with your family? And then Khubayb radiallahu anhu says, he says, I don't even wish that even a needle or a thorn prick Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do what you'll need to do with me. So he says, but what about it? He says, when I have this thought, I get shivers. I cannot control myself. And I think to myself, what if my Allah is upset with me that I was unable to help his slave and his lover? And I ask Allah, please forgive me, please forgive me. And I couldn't help a sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes we are very quick to judge others, only to realize that the reality of the matter is something else. So whatever be the situation, what we need to do is focus on ourselves. Remember, if we are very quick to judge others, it's perhaps our amal is not good enough. The closer we draw to Allah, the more keener our eye we have for ourselves. And the closer you are to shaitan, the more focused you are on others. Because shaitan is only looking at everyone else's faults. But a person who is the lover of Allah, person who is the true servant of Allah, it's about myself. I am on this lane to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How am I going to fare with Allah? If I pass away, what will be my situation? What answers do I have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Listen, if we have a bad thought about a Muslim, Allah will definitely take us to task for it. But if we have a good thought about a Muslim brother, and it is false and a mistake, Allah won't ask us why you had a good thought. Allah will never ask you why you had a good thought for the wrong person. But if it is a good thought for a good person, it's a reward. And if it's a good thought for a bad person, you're never taken to task for it. So the faculty of thought, how do we get that in order? We have to make an effort on our heart. We have to make an effort by seeking help from others, from a spiritual doctor, from some alim, some sheikh, some person who can help us find these maladies and get it out of ourselves. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that sometimes a believer is so quick to see the small speck of dust in his brother's eye and he forgets about the big dot of dirt that is on his face. Small speckle of dust also, you'll see it. But we forget how much of uyub and how much of sin we have in ourselves. Brothers, if we really have to look into ourselves, we've got so much to account for, where do we have the time to look at other people's faults? We've got so much of faults in ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. We make an effort on our heart. We be careful and we don't be quick in judging. One of the masjids, we came out of the masjid and there is only one line for all the cars to leave. Only one line, meaning it is a single lane. So there's one lane and there's oncoming traffic. So this one car is stuck and everyone is going around and they are hooting. One brother comes by, he puts his window down, he says, "What's up? What's the problem? Can't you see all the musallis want to come out? You're still talking to the man over there on the pedestal or on the sidewalk." He says, "Brother Maaf, my car is stuck. I'm asking him to contact the mechanic." He says, Oh, sorry. Sorry. But why not ask the brother, you need any help, you need any assistance, why jump and scream on the top of your voice, only to realize the situation was something else, then we disgraced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, we make an effort on ourselves, we clean our minds and our hearts, and we have good thoughts about the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.